Okay, let's look at verse 20 there first. It says, there was a war at Gath, again, and there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also had been born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of, if I can use the name or the spelling used here, Shema, or Shimi, David's brother, struck him down. Now, do you find that interesting? Now, not only is fear contagious, but faith is contagious as well. We're going to find this brother here as we look through this passage that was too fearful to go fight Goliath, has a son later on that has got the picture. And he steps up to the plate. He's a David in heart. Okay, he has the contagiousness of David's faith has filtered through the troops, and he is one that is a giant killer. Okay, those who come after. Let's read on then in verse 14, back in 1 Samuel 17. And David was the youngest of the three oldest who followed. David was the youngest. Now the three oldest followed Saul. Okay, so these three guys are there. Okay, and this father of Jonathan that later is a giant killer is right here as well. And they're all, going back to verse 11, Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Okay, Jonathan wasn't afraid later on, but Shema is. Okay, verse 15, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. Now, just a little bit of a problem here. Some people say, well, I thought David was Saul's armor bearer, so why wasn't he already there? But a king had many attendants. In fact, in 2 Samuel 18:15, we find that Joab had 10 armor bearers, and they don't use them all at the same time. So it's not an unlikely scenario that though David was played music there, we found that out in chapter 16, and he also became Saul's armor bearer, that David wasn't on this field of battle. In fact, as one of the armor bearers, he may have gone out with Saul's military exercises and personal practice and that kind of thing and helped him since he was there in the king's court. But he was a part-time attendant in the court of Saul, we find in chapter 16, and he's going back and forth. He's going back and forth to the sheep. Okay, and there he's taking care of his father's sheep, and there he's faithful in ministering to Saul. Excuse me. But what we find here, and here's the principle, okay, you can write this down. We find that a man after God's own heart is a man of humility. What do I mean by that? Well, here's David, and he's been anointed as king, right? We saw that in chapter 16. Samuel, the great prophet, anointed David to be king. And here we find this young man, he's a teenager, probably in his teenage years. He's going back and forth, taking care of Saul, doing business there in the court, but going home and still taking care of sheep. He's still a shepherd out there, a nobody. In terms of job and career and that type of thing. One that's been anointed to be king. Okay? Okay, so what we find is that David is a man that knows how to wait on the Lord. He knows how to wait and not, a prideful person would have said, hey, I don't need to do this anymore. I've been anointed to be king. David's brothers know that. David's father knows that. They were there. But yet, he continues on, and not only does he continue on in humility, doing what God has given him to do, but he's faithful at it, and he waits on God for God's timing. There's a big, huge principle there. Don't lose it. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord's timing. Be patient and wait on God. Trust in Him and wait for His timing. You don't have to take things in your own hands and work in the energy of the flesh to force your will in your way. See, David could have done that. He could have tried to rally some of the soldiers there from the tribe of Judah. He went out to the city of Bethlehem, and there were probably other elders there in the city that were there at his anointing. And he could have raised up an army, and he could have said, well, I'm going to go go take this in my own hand at my own timing and just go take over. But David didn't do that. He waited on God. It was in God's timing that he would move. Okay? Now look at verse 16 there, because notice in a narrative it goes back and forth. We had Goliath introduced. Now David's being introduced. Now it goes back. So we've got this picture, and it's important to get the message of what God wants to communicate to us, what has been recorded in his word, by seeing the things that are stated in this, because there's a lot of things left out. But the things that are stated there are helpful to us to understand, you know, what's important here. Okay, in verse 16, it goes back to the Philistine. We're back to the valley now. We went back up to Bethlehem, and there's David in the shepherd's field there with his sheep. But down here is this scene that's taking place that he doesn't know about, but David is waiting on God. Okay? Because God, in his providence, like we talked about last time, is orchestrating the events to do what God is going to do in David's life. And David is waiting on him. Okay? So in verse 16, it goes back. We see back to the scene in the valley there. And the Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. So 40 days, this guy's going out and talking noise. I mean, he's just... He's challenging them every day. He goes out and he stands in this valley. Imagine this, because what this is psychological warfare. You see, fear is all about perspective. Faith is all about perspective. It's how you see things. It's how you see the obstacle. Goliath knows that. He's a longtime warrior. He knows that his size and those things which are fearful to other people. I mean, he uses it to his advantage. 40 days and 40 nights he goes out there. He's out there saying, I challenge you. And he curses the God of Israel. And he stands and he's just, you know, this vile character. And so if you can imagine it, 40 days, that's a month and 10 days. These guys, these soldiers are up there camping on this hill. And they're dreaming about Goliath. You know, they're having nightmares. I bet they're waking up screaming at night. You know, Goliath's going to get me. They're fearful. And fear is contagious, and it grows and it grows. And something that can be very small can be so magnified in life that it takes over our perspective. It takes over the way we think. And even the way we sleep, we can't sleep because of some of our fears. And I would venture to say that there's some of you here this morning, that there's some of you here that have allowed some area of fearfulness in your life to be magnified to the place it is turned over everything that's going on. And it's something that is relatively small, and it can be something that some person did to you. It's an area of bitterness or some kind of area of unforgiveness or something that's going on that you can't let go of, and it gets bigger and bigger, and it becomes so, it takes over you, and you dream about it at night. And so it's the way we are. It's part of our makeup. But we've got to learn to think through the grid of Scripture. We've got to learn to take God's word and to pull back and say, no, I'm not going to think this way. I'm not going to hold this grudge against this person. I'm going to let go and learn to forgive them. I'm not going to allow this little problem with my finances just become so big because if I pull back, you know, God has been faithful all of these years. He's taken care of me in every way. Why should I worry now? Why should I allow something to get completely out of control? Scripture says that we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We ought to bring our thoughts into captivity. We can't allow Goliath or any other obstacle to cause our hearts to be fearful, because fear is often the expression of unbelief. Fear can be good in the emotional sense, but fear can cause us to embrace unbelief. And we have to be careful with fear. And we must not rule our lives. Let's look on. Verse 17. So here's Goliath prancing up and down, stomping up and down. I'm sure that the ground shook when he took a step. Verse 17. Then Jesse said to David, his son, take now for your for your brothers an ephah of roasted grain and 10 loaves, and run to the camp to your brothers, and bring also 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their thousands. And look into the welfare of your brothers, and bring back news of them. For Saul and they and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines. Now, I bet that's the first time that David heard it. So David's out here in the field meditating, talking to the Lord, you know, tending the sheep, doing what God had given him to do, waiting on God. And he's there thinking about the greatness of God. He's there meditating upon the attributes. God is sovereign. God has promised through the Abrahamic covenant. And God has given these covenants and promises to Israel. And this land that these sheep are grazing on are because God has given it to us. And I trust him, and he's provided for me, and I've known his provision. And that lion out there and that bear, I'm not afraid of them because God has given me this land. It's mine by God's grace and by his gracious gift. And David is meditating upon the Lord. And so he finds out that they're fighting with the Philistines. Verse 20, so David arose early in the morning and left the flock with the keeper and took the supplies and went to Jesse, as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines draw up in battle array, army against army. Now, when the armies would go out, you know, they'd go, ah, and they would start the battle cry, and they would make as much noise as they could, and they'd have drums, you know, they'd pound on the drums, and it would be, you know, that part of the thing was to make a lot of noise. And again, it's psychological warfare. And so here comes David, and he's faithful. He's coming. He's doing what his dad says. And so the principle that I want to get from these verses through verse 21 is that David was a man in submission. A man after God's own heart is in submission to authority. Okay? And this area in David's life is a key thing, okay? And we're going to look through these things on the life of David. It is just one of the things that stand out about him as to how he would wait upon the Lord in humility and how he submitted himself to his father's authority, to his older brother's authority, to Saul's authority, and to those that God had placed over him. He had learned the principle of submission. And here David rises up early in the morning, just as his dad tells him. He takes care of his responsibilities. He's a faithful man, submissive and faithful. He left the flock with the keeper, and he took the supplies as he was told, just as David had as Jesse had commanded him, it says in verse 20. And so here he goes. And he goes out, and he arrives just in time as the armies are making a shout. And you can see David, he's pumping. He's a young guy. He's a man. Oh. And they're out going out for battle. And here's these men roaring and yelling the battle cry and stepping out to the battle in battle array, army against army. Verse 22 then, let's look. Verses 23 through 30. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper. Again, he's faithful to take care of his responsibilities there. And he ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these same words, but notice what it says. And what? David heard them. Okay, first time. He didn't even know there was a battle going on probably until his dad sent him down and said his brothers were fighting the Philistines. He goes down and he hears for the first time, not 40 days, but David is coming. And let's get the picture here. He's coming from the sheepfold, from the field with the sheep, where he's been meditating upon the greatness of God. And God is magnified in his eyes, and he's hearing something, and he hears it differently, doesn't he? Isn't that awesome? You know, what's the difference between David and his brother? They were raised in the same family. Jesse, his father, probably taught him the same things. What's going on? What does a man after God's own heart look like? What does he look like? And here we see David, a tremendous guy. And David hears the words. Verse 24, when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. So here's David. He can't believe it. He just can't believe it. He's looking, he hears the boast, and he looks out, you know, he's heard this battle cry as these guys go out to battle, like, man, we're men, we're going to fight. And all of a sudden he hears this, he sees this guy and he hears the boast, and they're fleeing. They're greatly afraid. David's just going, what's going on here? Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Okay, there's three things here, and I want to make some comments about David here. Okay, according to what these men are saying, David is like, he's there, what are you running for? And he hears these men talking, and they say there's three things here. You can underline it or mark it in verse 25, that King Saul, for the man that will fight this champion, that will go out and fight him, there are three things that will be done. He will enrich this man with great riches. Okay, there's some wealth. David is from a poor family in Bethlehem. So that means something. David is an ambitious young fellow. He's a man with the proper type of ambitions, the proper type of drives in life. And he's faithful to take care of the sheep. He's faithful to do what his father tells him. But when there's opportunity, he's ready to roll. He's ready to get up and go. And he hears for the first time that there's opportunity. David, I mean, this that was this huge obstacle to his brothers and to the army, the soldiers of Israel, to David is an opportunity. You see? It's an obstacle. Is it an obstacle or is it an opportunity?